It's the Beckler and Shauna podcast, your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes, offering affordable customization on your new home.
It is Thursday, March 14th, 2024. I am Shauna. Beckler is still away. He's on vacay for the rest of the week. I'm pretty stoked for tomorrow, I'm not going to lie. We do this thing, which I'm sure you know about. We've talked about it a few times on the podcast before. But at 6 o'clock in the morning, we do this thing called the Out of Bed Banger, where we play a song that we don't normally play on the playlist per se. We always kind of go off genre a little bit. Sometimes it's a harder song. Sometimes it's an oldie, like some Elvis, that kind of thing. And, of course, tomorrow, in the spirit of St. Patrick's Day this weekend, I think we're going to play some St. Patty's music. Maybe some Flogging Molly, Dropkick Murphy. I may even play both. I'm very excited for that. If you happen to be up at the ass crack of dawn at 6 a.m., then you can definitely join in and do some fun jigs with me. I'm like, that's an ass kicker. That's going to really kick the corners of your mustache up. So, again, weird that I'm excited about that already, but when you have to wake up at 3 in the morning, these are the things you get excited for, okay? Also, having St. Patrick's Day on a weekend, oh, man. Like, I know it's Sunday, but everybody I know is just celebrating on Saturday anyway. I always wonder. I'm like, I wonder what the bar sales are on a weekend when St. Patrick's Day happens to fall versus if St. Patrick's Day happens to fall on a weekday. I wonder the difference in money that's made on the bars here. So, I mean, it's great for local bars. Hopefully they can clean house on that. I'm actually going to be in Saskatchewan for St. Patrick's Day. On Saturday night, I'm going to be in Weyburn, Saskatchewan. That's where I'll be celebrating. Woo! Staying at the Canalta, probably going to the hotel bar and having a drink there. So, yeah, it's a pretty low-key one, I think, for me this year. I do get back on Sunday, though, and a bunch of friends are like, well, let's go for a quick pint when you get back. A quick green pint. No, I always go for Guinness on St. Patrick's Day. Very silly. Very stoked about all of that, to be honest. All right, well, on today's show, we talk about the origin of the term cul-de-sac, which is one of the most pretentious terms ever. I'll get into the nitty-gritty of why I think it's pretentious. Like, I want to kick my own ass saying these things out loud, but we'll get to that. I talk about a challenge that happens in Antarctica. Okay, this was my what did you learn today for today, but I really want to be a part of this challenge. It seems pretty damn cool, actually. I attempt to make something sexy that really is not sexy at all. And I discovered another great news voice. All of this and more after your out-of-context clip of the show.
What fungus side of the bed would you like?
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
I was just reading about how there are a lot of people suffering from snow mold allergies right now. Of course, when the snow melts, it uncovers that mold beneath it. I have to be honest with you. I had never heard the term snow mold before moving here, but it is a thing, and lots of people suffer from it. It can be like this gray or pink mold that you can see when the snow lifts, I guess. And you get some sort of fungicide to help with it as well. And then you just make sure you don't have old dead leaves on your lawn before the snow falls, that type of thing. But anyway, as this is something that is kind of inevitable every year, and it sucks for lots of people here, I thought that maybe I could try and help for you. I thought maybe I could attempt to make snow mold sexy. It's a bit of a tall order, but I'm going to give it a go here, okay? So we're going to try to make snow mold sexy.
Watch out. It springs out from beneath the blanket when you least expect it.
The blanket of snow, that is, of course.
What fungus side of the bed would you like?
I'm so sorry. That was awful. That was just, ugh. Okay, maybe this is better.
It kind of hides in the cold, but you can really see it when it warms up. Oh.
It was in the pool, okay? It was in the pool.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
Etymology with Shauna.
Well, this is a fun one. Today I learned the etymology of cul-de-sac. So you've heard the term, I'm sure. Cul-de-sac is one of those dead-end roads that loops at the end. You know what a cul-de-sac is. Or it's the haircut of a balding man. You've probably heard that as well. I was actually reading, though, this is interesting, that the cul-de-sac used to be far more common, but then it was actually a bad design, a lot of theorists figured, because it made people feel claustrophobic as there was only one way out. Also, apparently it forced you to talk to your neighbors, which people didn't really like either. So because of that, cul-de-sacs are far less common than they used to be. There you go. Little side note for you. But the cul-de-sac
is obviously French, okay, you can tell. It's basically a pretentious way of saying dead end, really. What's even more ridiculous, though, is that the plural of cul-de-sac isn't cul-de-sacs, it's culs-de-sac. I'm going to kick my own ass for even saying that out loud. Culs-de-sac. Oh, yes, there's a few culs-de-sac around here. Nobody would ever say that. But cul-de-sac literally translates to bottom of a sack, right? Cul-de-sac. That's exactly what it means. Very simple. And when you think of what this dead-end street looks like, well, it does kind of look like the bottom of the sack. More recently, the term col is used in French as ass, okay? That's what it's more commonly used as now. So ass of sack. That's what cul-de-sac literally translates to. Ass of sack. So you're never going to look at a cul-de-sac the same way, are you? No, me neither.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
Beckler and I love a good news voice. Love it. There's just something about the way that news people speak. And I'm jealous of it. I'm envious because they are, you know, it's how they enunciate. They're very good at that kind of thing. And then there's Mumbles McGee over here like me. But we look for the classic voices, the classic news voices that you hear in your life, that almost doesn't sound human. You know, some of them are so particular, like, wow, that is something else. Like, this person does not go out and sound like that, you know? So here's one for you that I heard on the news yesterday. Just have a listen to this sweet sound.
This winter's mild and wild temperature swings have proved deadly on the water.
Oh, yes. Have proved deadly on the water. I can't even do it. Let's just continue.
And it's easy to see why. Once in the frigid water, the clock is ticking.
Once in the frigid water, the clock is ticking. Oh, I just love it. It's a nice deep voice, this one. But again, like if you heard that person out and about, I don't know if they would talk like that, you know?
This glass of water is frigid.
You know, like it's just, it's a little bit different. It's amazing. I always wonder if these newsies get the training to really enunciate like that, to really have that deep, boomy voice. It's funny, though, when it comes to voices, like a lot of people tell me, they go, oh, yeah, you've got a voice for radio. Like you must have gotten into radio because of your voice. And I'm like, nope, that is definitely not a thing. I do not have a good radio voice. It's way too deep. I think it's awful. I kind of just stumbled into this on-air thing, but it is quite funny how many people think like, oh, you got into it because of your voice. Nope. Definitely didn't like hear my voice on recording go, that's a voice for radio right there. No, I still to this day, in fact, hate the sound of my voice. And you'd think after 14 years of doing this, I'd be used to it. Nope. Still think it's awful.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
A friend of mine just started work with a new company and their start time is 8:52 a.m. apparently. 8:52, not 9, but 8:52. The reason, they say, is that you then have 8 minutes when you first arrive to say all your hellos and get settled and all of that, and then you'll be ready for business right at 9 a.m. Interesting theory. I was a bit curious, though, because I was like, okay, so does this mean you then end work at 4:52? Or is this just a sneaky way to get you to work a little early, and then you don't waste any valuable time saying the simple hellos, right? So it's like, no, you start here at 8:52. We don't pay you till 9, though, but just get all your hellos over with. It seems a little crazy, but also memorable. A little quirky, even, right? Oh, no, we don't start work at 9. We start at 8:52. There's actually a theory to do with dating regarding this as well. A good friend of mine read a book on how to be more successful with the ladies, and this is one of the things this book said, that instead of picking a time for the date that's normal, something like 6 p.m., pick a time that's a little weird, like 6:52. According to this dating expert, picking a weird dating time will make you more memorable. Right? His theory is that if you're in the dating pool, there's a good chance that you're seeing a bunch of different people at once. So if you're the one who picks this time for a date that's a little weird, that'll make you memorable. Again, even a little quirky. Ooh. I was talking about a friend just a few minutes ago, and this friend read this book about dating that was saying that if you want to be memorable, okay, you should pick a time that's a bit weird. So let's say you're going on a date. Instead of saying, let's meet at 6 p.m., say, let's meet at 6:52. Make it a strange time because then you're more memorable.
It's not just dating. It's a tool used in sales.
Really?
So you'll notice in sales that one of the tactics is to use a different time because people are actually more likely to get there for that time and be on time. People, we've kind of grown accustomed to when I say, oh, hey, let's get together around 6. It's not at 6. We always say around the hour. We always say around. But usually people don't say around 6:15. It's just a mindset thing.
Interesting.
So it's used in sales. You'll see some salespeople and some sales companies, they try to book things in the 10 minutes, 15 minutes kind of thing increments.
Mm.
Earlier in my sales career, that was introduced as a viable sales tactic to get your appointments to show up.
So you'd say 6:10 instead then?
Yeah, so the line would be something along the lines of, okay, so the person say, well, 6:00, does that work for you? And then you'd say, yes, I could be there for 6:00. And then I'd go, you know what? I've got something actually that's going to take me to 6:00. I have another appointment just prior. Why don't we make it for 6:10? That way, I don't want you waiting for me. I'd rather be waiting for you.
And then people tend to be more on time if you do that?
Exactly.
I might try and do that with my friends then, because I have some friends who are chronically late. And so instead of saying meet around 6:00, I wonder if I said 6:15, if they'd actually be more apt to be on time if I did that.
Well, I don't know how well it would work with friends.
Right.
Because friends are habitually late.
Yeah, for sure.
They just don't care.
I mean, but it's worth a try because they're going to be late regardless. So I wonder.
Yeah, you got nothing to lose.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Got a couple responses after that. A friend of the show, Nicole, said, I don't like what that guy just said on friends being late. He said friends who are chronically late just don't care. I don't think that's entirely accurate. I have ADHD and I'm chronically late, but it's definitely not because I don't care. It's 100% because I have poor time management skills. And yeah, that's absolutely true as well, actually, right? It's not always that friends just don't care. Sometimes it's something like that. It's ADHD. And I totally understand that as well. I do, however, have friends, though, who are chronically late just because they know it's just friends. And that annoys me a little bit. And I've tried all kinds of things to get them on time. I've tried telling the wrong time, but then that's backfired on me before, because I just recently actually told a friend the wrong time and then they were actually there on time for once. And so then I was the one late, and honestly, I cannot stand being late. It's one thing about me. I will always be early. And when everybody else is late, I've actually tried to force myself to also try and be a little later now, knowing nobody's going to be on time. So I'm not just sitting there by myself, and it actually physically pains me to do that. I don't know. I don't think I was always this good with time. I actually think part of it is being in radio, because you have to time everything out so particularly, and you're constantly looking at the time to make sure you're on time, make sure things aren't running long, making sure that your hours time out in terms of music. All of that, I think, has made me extremely aware of time, and so now I can't help being late. But honestly, I think it's something that I've developed from being in radio for 15 years or 18 years, or I don't even know how long I've been doing this for now, but I think it's that. You know a great place to spend your time, though, your downtime especially? In a Shane Holmes home. Shane Holmes has something called affordable customization. You've heard us talk about this plenty, but it is fantastic. It is basically just as it sounds. You can customize your house to exactly how you want it, and it's honestly affordable. It's something that you can do and not have to spend a fortune. You don't have to break the bank. You don't have to be a millionaire to do this. That's a really cool thing about Shane Holmes' home. And actually, we went to Shane Holmes' office, and it's so cool in there because they have everything on display. So you can kind of just walk through all these fake display homes and stuff and see what you like, what you don't. You can pick it all out that way. That seems like so much fun. Being able to build your own house and then just pick everything fresh. Oh, yeah. Being the first people in that house, being the ones to christen it in every way. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, all the information on Shane Holmes is at ShaneHolmes.com. Shane Holmes, the better way to build.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Beckler and I have been talking lately about the history of toilets and these things called privy pits, which prior to modern day plumbing, it was basically this big pit where you do your business and then you essentially threw all your waste into as well. And we actually had an archaeologist on the program recently discuss these pits, because he said it's an absolute gold mine for archaeologists, as it just says so much about the diets of humans and what they did for work, even based on what they were tossing in there. Just a bunch about history. Well, since then, I've learned quite a bit of other historical insight about the past of toilet using. And I find this fascinating, and I don't know why. I mean, it's, I guess, because, well, everybody always has to, we have to do our business. So people used to communally go to the bathroom. So you'd be sitting with a bunch of other people doing your business all together. It was kind of a party in there. It was a party in the potty. Between 10 and 20 people would all gather together to do this. Isn't that a bit odd? On top of that, you used to share one sponge. Okay. So you'd use it and then you'd rinse it off with a little bit of water and you'd pass it on to the next bro in there. Be like, hey, bro, here's the sponge for you now. And then you'd put it down. In fact, historians think that that's probably where a lot of illness came from. You don't say. And then I learned of a position that used to be held within the castle called the groom of the stool. And this has kind of inspired something that I think maybe we should have as a recurring bit on this program, but dirty jobs, right? Because this is one that, well, the groom of the stool was a male servant, okay? And he was responsible for assisting the king in his toileting needs. So he assisted in wiping the king's anus, essentially. That was his job, okay? Full-time job. He was also supposed to supply a bowl and water and towels and special linens and stuff for the king because the king was rich back then. So instead of a sponge, he could actually use fancy linens. So that was also the job of the groom of the stool. And then he had to track the king's bowel movements and then talk to the royal doctor and make sure everything looked good down there. That was a job that used to exist. There was a women's version of this as well. She was called the First Lady of the Bedchamber. She was to do the same thing. And, well, these positions existed until 1901. That's not that long ago. Where somebody's job used to simply be helping the king with his anus and then looking at his bowel movements and being like, yeah, that all checks out. There it is.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
Hey, what did you learn today?
Well, I learned about something that happens in Antarctica, at the South Pole. Scientists do this. So, of course, you're stuck there and it's extremely cold and it's the darkest season and you're like, what do we do? Well, they have a club that they've started, a very, very exclusive club because, of course, you have to be up in Antarctica to do this, but it's called the 300 Club. Okay. And they experience a temperature change of 300 degrees. So what they do is they go and they sit in a sauna. And then they step outside, and not only just step outside, but they make a 100-yard run in temperatures of minus 100 degrees Fahrenheit or colder, and that is before the wind chill, to circle the ceremonial South Pole, okay? And they cross through all 24 time zones as they do this, and all they're wearing is snow boots. Because, well, everything else would basically stick instantly. If you were wearing underpants even, then go into the sauna and then it would instantly freeze. And so they don't wear anything but just boots so that their feet don't freeze off. And apparently this is a thing that many scientists will do up at the North Pole. I've got to be honest with you. Now that I know this exists, I really want to do that. Like, I really would be down for that. I always, we've all been there. You go and you get into the hot tub and then you jump out into the snow or the frigid river, right? And you do that whole thing. This is just that, but on steroids. I'm in. How do we make this happen? What Antarctica scientist do I have to contact? Let's make the 300 Club a thing.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
Well, I was watching the news last night and they were mentioning that it's tick season. Good old tick season. I've been blessed because I've never discovered a tick on me, thank the good Lord, but I know many people who have, and it's just horrifying, right? Ticks are just nasty little turds, aren't they? Just burying their way into your skin. It's gross. Anyway, it looks like the milder weather means that tick season is expanding. So they used to be fairly dormant in the winter, and I guess now they're more active for longer because the weather's a bit milder, which really sucks as well. I was also chuckling a little bit, and I shouldn't be because this isn't good either, but apparently there are now super ticks as well, and news was describing them as faster, stronger, and fitter ticks. Guys, these new ticks, they work out, okay? That's what they're saying. They're fitter than ever before. They're gym bro ticks. They're ticks with massive dumpers, okay? Apparently they're doing their squats, so I got some muscular junk in their trunk apparently now. So watch out for the athletic ticks, okay? Also, though, make sure you check for ticks. That was the bottom line of this whole news story that I was watching. So they're most commonly found under the arms. So check under your arms, check in around the ears, check inside your belly button, check between your legs. And of course, with that, this goes without saying.
Check your panties.
Yes, you can't forget to check your panties for ticks either.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
Little victories.
Oh, this is just as it sounds, by the way. This is when we celebrate the little pluses in life, you know? Sometimes we focus on the negative stuff a little too much, or we only focus on the big things that are positive. There are tons of little things that happen throughout the day as well. So this is where we acknowledge this, okay? So this was yesterday. I posted something online to sell, and I actually had a good experience with it. I know. When does that ever happen? So I posted this surfboard that I have up there because, I mean, well, needless to say, I don't really need a surfboard all that often in landlocked Alberta. It's actually the one I used with that snow shark structure thing that I took a bunch of ridiculous photos with. If you want to see those, by the way, they're up on our social media and our blog at x929.ca and up online for you. But anyway, posted this online, okay? And I find that often with these online sales sites, they're just so saturated, you can't ever get what things are truly worth anymore. Everybody just so grossly undersells things that I didn't have high hopes posting this thing because I put it for a fair amount of money, actually. And then normally, you know, you get responses for things and then you never hear back from these people. So it'll be like, is this still available? And you'll be like, why, yes. And then I don't know what happens to them. They get raptured or something, and then you just never, they completely ghost, and you're like, well, you don't exist anymore. That's cool. Well, here's the thing, okay? I posted this up. Within half an hour, I had a response saying, can I come see it? They came within the hour. They gave me the cost of it in full, no bartering or anything, just here you go, and they went on their merry way. I don't know, that's like winning the lottery right there. I got $360 cash within an hour of posting something online, and that's a fair amount for what it's worth, too. Okay. It was so seamless, I should probably check if the money's fake or not. Actually, honestly, now that I think of it, the money's probably fake. Honestly, it's too good to be true. I knew it.
You've been listening to the Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes, offering affordable customization on your new home.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's Alternative, X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x929.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have Beckler and Shauna downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.
After Hours with Mariah and Ty, a weekly podcast that brings this dynamic duo to another level of awesome and allows you to listen on your own terms. Go behind the curtain and hear the stuff you won't hear on the radio. Like, they're going to say,
find After Hours with Mariah and Ty wherever you get your podcasts.